John chapter 16 tonight, and I'm going to read to start with chapter 16, verse number 7 through 11. And we're talking tonight in our second in a series of messages on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We talked last week about how he's not an id, he's not an influence, he's a person. And it's a bad mistake to treat him as an id, or to grieve him, to quench him. Amen. It's a bad mistake to do those things. And then, of course, a lost person can reject him, his wooing, his drawing in their life. God is not obligated to come that way again. Let's look tonight, begin reading in verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. If you have a red letter edition Bible, then these letters are in red because Jesus is speaking. Can I tell you this tonight? Jesus never told anything but the truth. Whatever the subject is tonight, he always tells the truth. And one thing I used to tell the inmates is that when I got saved, I got a new daddy. I got a new father. That old devil will lie to you. Has he been lying since the foundation of the world? Amen. Been lying. He's a liar. He's the father of a lie. But when a person gets saved, then God becomes their heavenly father. And he'll never lie to us. The truth might hurt sometimes, but he'll never lie to us. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. That word expedient, I guess, would be kind of along the words of necessary. It's absolutely necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here with your precious people. And Lord, I thank you for the precious truth of the Word of God. I ask you now, Father, tonight that you would just help us. Lord, be an encouragement. Lord, I know that there's a lot going on now. Several of our people, Lord, and people that are close to our people are nearing the shore. Hearts are hurting. Burdens are heavy. God, I pray tonight, our Father, that you'll lift those burdens, that you'll help carry those burdens. That's why you sent the Holy Ghost into the world, Lord. Come alongside and help. I pray for the Phillips family tonight, Lord. Lord, that you would help them, our Father, the loss of their loved one. God, just help us all to realize that before the sun comes up in the morning, Lord, we can be home. Help us to be encouraged by that fact and to do what we can while we can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I just want to make five statements about the Holy Spirit tonight and his importance in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit and his importance in the life of the believer. Number one tonight, that is, the Holy Spirit was absolutely necessary in order for you to, and me to be saved. I believe in soul winning. I do. It's taught in the Scripture. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's the Bible. Daniel 12:3, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I'm thinking of a passage right now, and I can't quote it, so go back with me to John just a moment. Maybe it's not in John. John bear witness of him. Look at verse 15 of chapter 1. And he cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. I'm thinking of the text, it's another text where they were talking about the birth of John the Baptist, and he was going to turn many of the people to righteousness. God wants to use you and I as an instrument. Amen. Listen, he wants to use us as an instrument in the lives of others. And I believe that the Holy Spirit working, that many times we don't understand, but he works on both ends. When he puts a burden on your heart for somebody, I've found it over and over and over that he's working on the other end as well. Amen? And we need to be sensitive to that burden. Before the Holy Spirit ever becomes a comforter in our life, he had to be the convictor. He had to convict us of our sin. You know what we do? We go along through life and we look at this one, we look at that one, and we say, well, I'm just as good as he is. I'm just as good as she is. I'm doing just as good as they are. And that all may be true. But I tell you what, when an individual comes side by side with perfection, the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it takes the Holy Spirit of the living God to help us to understand that. Amen. And that many times is left out in soul winning, that we need the Holy Spirit to work. The Bible said here he's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Look with me, if you will, at John chapter 6 now for a moment. And verse 35 is where we'll begin reading there. We're talking about the Holy Spirit's necessity, absolutely necessary in order for you and I to be saved. Where would we be without the Holy Spirit? We'd be lost. We'd either be lost in this world or we'd already be in hell if it weren't for the working of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And the Bible said here, by the way, this just came to my mind, and I know that those of you who've been in church for a while, you've heard somebody say this. We need to pray that God will put crackers in their bed. How many's ever heard something like that? Make them uncomfortable. Let me ask you this. Why don't we pray God put crackers in our bed? Why don't we pray God give us a burden? Why don't we pray God take a little sleep away from us while our loved ones are dying without God and going to hell? One of the devotions this week had to do with where Jesus told Judas it was better that he had never been born. And that's the truth. For a person to die without Jesus, it'd be better they had never been born. They'd never breathed a breath of air. I tell you, Judas would say amen to that tonight if he could be here tonight. The Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary. Look at John chapter 6, please. And we'll begin reading in verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let me just clear something up right quick. This just came to me when I read it. Well, you take a verse like that, and then you take another verse in the Beatitudes. Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. This here says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let me just explain that to you for just a minute. Beloved, listen. He satisfies in the area of salvation once and for all. When you come to him, you don't need a bite of anybody else's bread. Amen. But listen, in the area of service, in the area of sanctification, we never get there. Amen. We're supposed to hunger. We're supposed to thirst after righteousness because God wants, I'm going to say more about this, he wants to fill us. Amen. That's what God wants to do in our life. Let's go on. I'm talking about the necessity of the Holy Spirit in order to be saved. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Boy, I like that. Ain't nobody, Brother Chuck, ever come to Jesus and said, oh God, would you forgive me? And Jesus said, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. If he's going to tell anybody that, he'd have told that thief hanging on the cross beside of him that. But he that cometh to me, he's never thrown anybody out that came to him. He's waiting with open arms. Amen, to receive them into the fold, into the family of God. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Watch this. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all those which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I'm glad I can take very much comfort in that verse of Scripture. Amen. Don't have to worry about my soul. It's in the hands of Jesus for safekeeping. Watch this now. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Watch this, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you notice in this one little text right here over and over and over, he says, I'll raise him up. I'll raise him up. I'll raise him up. I'm telling you, listen, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Now here's where Colton's in the notes. Here's where he's in the notes. Did you know Sunday morning that if you're not deaf, then you could hear my voice Sunday morning as I was preaching? And Colton heard my voice with his ears Sunday morning. But there's someone called the Blessed Holy Spirit that took the words that were delivered through my voice and took them further than his ears, and they got down in his heart. You probably sat there Sunday morning cold. You didn't know what was going on. But I'm going to tell you something right now, you do. You see, it's the Holy Spirit of God, amen, that takes the Word of God down into the heart and, listen, settles the issue in that person that needs to be saved, amen. Thank God he does. Listen, I couldn't tell you two words the preacher preached the night I got saved. I know he was preaching a Sunday night message, which is usually something to encourage the church. And I remember that, but that's all I remember, because the Spirit of God was preaching a whole nother message to that boy sitting on the front pew that night, lost in religion. Amen. I was trying to say the right things and live the right way and do the right things, but those things will never get you to heaven. You've got to come by way of the cross. Amen. I think you would enjoy this illustration. Some of you have probably heard it, and I like to use it. I like to use it when I'm talking to people, because I think it's important when somebody understands they're a sinner and then they understand that they owe a penalty for their sin. The wages of sin is death. You get to teaching them about the second death. Amen. That's not just physical death, but that's separation from God forever and forever and ever. And let me just stop and say this tonight. I'm going to say it. It needs to be said. Just about every obituary you read will say so-and-so went to be with the Lord. If they didn't know it when they breathed their last breath, they didn't go to be with him. It hurts. But it's the truth. The rich man didn't go to be with the Lord. In hell he lived his face, being in torments, plural. He's still there today. I like to use this illustration. A person understands they've sinned. They understand that we owe a penalty for our sin. The wages of sin is death. And then they understand that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and bled and died and paid the penalty for our sin. When they understand that, there's still something that I want to cover And that is God dealing with your heart about it? You can know the facts, honey, but the Spirit of God ain't on the scene. There ain't nothing. He's the one that must birth us into the family of God. I like to use an illustration about a little boy. He was standing on the street corner and he had a stick and he had a string going up in the sky. And a fellow walked up beside him and said, "Son, what you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite, mister." That man looked up in the sky. It was overcast and cloudy. He said, "Son, I don't see a kite." He said, "I don't see it either, mister." He said, "Then how do you know it's up there?" He said, "Because I still feel the tug." Amen. Oh, listen. Anybody that's ever flown a kite knows when the kite goes down, the string goes limp. You no longer feel the tug. How many's glad you felt the tug one day? We couldn't see him up there, but honey, there's an unseen line going between earth and heaven called the Holy Ghost of the living God. And he'll tug at our heart. It's absolutely necessary. John chapter number 3 for just a moment. You say, "Pastor, this is elementary stuff." I know. I said, "I know." I know. How can you teach on the Holy Spirit without going to that first precious act that took place in your life when you met Him? Amen. He was there. I had a fellow tell me 2 weeks after I got saved, he looked at me and he said, "I still don't know if you're saved or not." That's the truth. I didn't know my feet were on the ground for 2 weeks. But I'm going to tell you something. Human beings can bring you back to earth. I looked at that man with tears running down both sides of my face. And you can say whatever you want to. This preacher ain't smart enough to think of what I said to him. I looked at that man and I said this. I said, "Brother, I said Jesus was there the night He saved me. And He knows I'm saved. And I said the devil was there the night that God saved me. And He knows I'm saved. And I said I was there the night God saved me. And I know I'm saved." I looked at him and said, "It really doesn't matter whether you ever know it or not. If that don't rebuke you, I don't know what does." Amen. But it wasn't from me. It was from heaven. Amen. Ain't nobody got no business looking at somebody else and saying, listen, that's between them and God. I guarantee you if you'd have walked up on David at a certain season in his life, you'd have said, "There ain't no way that man knows God." And God said, "He's a man after my own heart." We better leave the judging up to the Lord. Amen. The Holy Spirit. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Miss Eve, you'll have to help me. We'll work on this chapter, honey, and see if we can get it again. Amen. Boy, it's a long one. If I could just get down to verse number 21, I'd be tickled. Then the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I want to say this tonight. You better know more than that he's a teacher come from God. A whole lot of religions believe that, Brother Vince. But they don't believe he's the Son of God. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, listen, we don't need fuss at Nicodemus. If you had never heard the term born again, you don't know what you would have said to Jesus. He said, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I don't believe Nicodemus was being a smart aleck. He didn't understand. But listen, this is one preacher that believes before he left this world he understood. You tell me why he'd be wanting to beg and help with the body of Jesus, amen, if he didn't have a knowledge of who he was, amen. He may have been one of them that didn't tell it for fear of being kicked out of the synagogue. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's all kinds of ideas on what that water is in that verse, and I'm not going to fall out with anybody. The Bible does talk about the washing of water by the Word, but I believe if you'll read the next verse, if you'll take into consideration Nicodemus's question, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? If you'll read it in its context, I believe what Jesus is saying is, son, you need to have two births. One is a physical birth. And I believe that's what he meant when he said born of water. And then he must be born of the Spirit. There's got to be a spiritual birth. Now listen to me. I don't want to confuse anybody right here. You may not know the date like I do, and I don't know the exact time. I can't remember whether the Sunday night service at Landmark started at 7 or 7:30. I think it was 7. I think prayer meeting started at 7:30. I can't remember for sure. I don't know exactly what time it was, but I know it was Sunday night, February 22nd, 1987. I know my wife and children were at home. The children were sick and they didn't go to church that day. I know I was wore out. And I know I didn't go to church to get saved. I know I didn't find him that night, but he found me. Amen. But listen to me. You may not know the date, but I tell you what, if this has happened in your life, you surely should know it was spring or it was summer or it was fall. Or it was winter, or it was at the house, or it was in a revival. Is anybody following me tonight? Listen, you don't have to, or I was in my bedroom. Listen, if you ever meet Jesus, you can't miss that event, amen? You can't miss that event. I was talking to Cole Sunday morning after church, and I said, has that burden been lifted? No, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he let me know that weight was gone. And then I talked to him about that welding industry I used to be involved in, and I knew how to get that old smoke out of my hair and get soap and shampoo and get the old outside of me cleaned up. I said, but there was a part down on the inside I couldn't reach. But he reached it, and he cleansed it, amen. He washed me in his precious blood. And Cole agreed with me, didn't you, brother, that you've experienced the same thing. You must be born again. You know, if you don't have a record of your new birth, I wouldn't worry too much about that as long as I knew heaven had it. That's what's important. Say amen. You know, my Lord, I said I didn't know the exact time. He knows the exact second. Amen. That I got tired of religion and wanted a relationship with the best friend I've ever had in this world, the Lord Jesus. Number one, he is absolutely necessary in order to be saved. Number two, talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. I think this is a very, very important passage right here. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 19. The Holy Spirit, the Bible said here, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I don't know about you, but we should be thrilled that we're going to heaven. But we should be just as thrilled that we've been bought with a price. Did you know over there in the Old Testament economy, there was something with a slave. I can't remember the number of years. It might have been 7. It might have been the year of Jubilee. They had to turn the slaves loose. And that slave could make a decision. He could say, I love my master. And I don't want to leave my master. I want to stay with my master. And what they did with that slave when that happened, they took his ear and they put it up against the doorpost. And they bored a hole in his ear. And everybody that saw that man knew he belongs to his master, not for time, but forever, the rest of his life. Amen. And I don't know about you, but over and over and over, the Bible talks about that word servant, and it talks about being a bond slave. In other words, beloved, listen, my life is not my own. It doesn't belong to me. Jesus didn't just purchase my eternal redemption. We sing songs like, I owe it all to Jesus. We sing songs like, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad that He lives. And He lives in me through the presence of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Romans chapter 8 tonight. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 5 when we get there. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 5. The Word of God said, for they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. While I'm there, let me talk to you just a little bit about that verse in Galatians. You remember the Spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit? You remember that, don't you? Listen, when a person gets saved, there's a battle starts going on. Amen? Every one of us in here tonight, we have an old man and we have a new man. The old man's after the flesh, the new man is after the Spirit. And there's going to be a battle going on in every heart. And every one of us has certain areas of our life that are weaknesses, and everybody's weaknesses may be different. But listen, the old devil, he knows where we're weak, and that's where he's going to attack us. Amen. That's why the Bible said to put on the whole armor of God. One of the things I think that's dangerous in the family of God is to not be going forward, because God didn't give us anything in the armor to cover our backside. We're not supposed to turn and run. Say amen. We're supposed to march on. Amen. For the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said here, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can indeed can be. But they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye, I found that out February 22nd, 1987. That's what I found out. I spent 6.5 years trying to please God. And I couldn't do it in the flesh. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Some will teach you that you come to the altar and you get Jesus. And you leave, and later on somewhere down the road you get the Holy Ghost. That's not true. If you left the altar without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Ghost of God, then you left the altar unsaved. The Word of God said here, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, I want you to see something right here. I love it. I love it. You say, Pastor, did Jesus come in Colton's life? Yeah. Because you don't get the Holy Ghost without getting the Son. You don't get the Son without getting the Father. You don't get the Father without getting the Holy Ghost. Everybody with me tonight? Look at the deity of Christ in those two verses right there. It talks about the Spirit dwelling in you. And then he said, if Christ be in you. You can interchange them. It don't matter. Amen. Another scripture, I believe it was in the book of Philippians. I might be wrong about that. It might be Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. The Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Look at this with Easter coming on. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors. This goes right back to what I said a while ago. We're debtors. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's why it troubles me when someone says, I'm saved, and yet there's absolutely no evidence in their life. Nothing's ever changed in their life. I believe this Bible, let me back up. I know this Bible teaches, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's one thing to talk about a man like David and a season in his life. But overall, beloved, God was very, very proud of David. Overall. And it's sad that we as human beings, when we think of David, we want our mind first off goes right to the negative instead of all the positive. That's just the way we're geared, is it not? Amen. Goes right to the negative. And so the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. If you look up in verse 9 and 10 here, you see the deity of the Lord Jesus, because it's the Spirit of God that dwells in you. And then he says, the Spirit of Christ. Wow, I just saw that. You see, you don't only see deity, you see the Trinity. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and the Holy Spirit. All one in the same. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Don't you think it's wrong to talk about him as an it or an influence? He's a person. Amen. 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 Let's look at one more thing real quickly. The Holy Spirit of God not only is necessary in order to be saved, not only does He indwell the believer, but the Holy Spirit of God seals the believer. I have an illustration to go with this I just thought of, if I can remember it when I get there. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible said here, let's look at verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Have you trusted in Christ? In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I'm going to look back here at a young man tonight, and I'm going to ask you a question, son. Jesus saved you Sunday morning. Does that make you want to live loose, or does that make you want to live for the Lord? Amen. If a person gets that genuine salvation, that's why he come to Jesus. He's tired of that mess. I was tired, Brother David, laying down at night, not knowing if I died, whether I go to heaven or whether I go to hell. I'm tired of the if I am, if I'm not, if I am, if I'm not. That if disappeared when Jesus came in and sealed my eternal soul till the day of redemption. Paul said, shall we sin that grace may abound? He used two words, God forbid. That's a mess. See what you can get by with because you're sealed forever. I'm going to tell you something. You better not forget this. If you really know Him and He really knows you, He's got a rod. And He don't ask you to bend over the way Daddy did. He can get your attention. And He will chasten those that He loves. Because He loves them. Amen. Turn with me to this scripture real quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. I love this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know what He did in verse number 31? He told us what grieves Him. Those are the things, bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. He said, let that be put away from you with all malice. He's telling us right there in that verse what grieves the Holy Ghost in verse number 30. He said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. I had some baked chicken. I had it last night. I had it today. Will I have it tomorrow? Miss Eve, she popped the top on one of those quarts of green beans. And I had that baked chicken and green beans. Are you hungry yet? And mashed potatoes and cooked apples. That's mean, ain't it? Amen. Here comes my illustration, though. When Miss Eve took the top off of that, how many of you ladies have ever canned? You've ever canned? You listen, don't you, Sister Marie, for those cans to seal. And if one don't seal, you redo it, because they're going to be ugly in just a little while if you don't redo it and get it to seal. But when Miss Eve, she took the top off of that, you know what we got out of that jar? We got beans just like the day she put them in that jar. Have you ever wondered, Brother Vince, I'm going to have to catch you down at the red light if you get a hold of this. Have you ever wondered, brother, when the Bible said He's going to present us without spot and without wrinkle? You got any spots in your life, brother? You know how He's going to do that? When we said yes to the Lamb of God, God sealed us. Right then, right there. And when He breaks the seal, remember how clean you were there Sunday morning ago? When He breaks the seal, it's going to be just like a day. Oh, my soul. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, I don't mean to be irreverent right here. That's not what I'm trying to be. But if you could be saved more than once, tell me where the line is. I'd get in it, amen. It's a good the first time, say amen. But you can't be saved more than once. The Bible doesn't talk about being born again and again, but being born again. Not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How many is glad you come tonight?